Chapter 33. Reach picked up a rock lying at his feet as he waited for Dessen to return with his team. Something to do to take his mind off the fact that he was starting to grow tired. He'd gone for a long time without sleep before, even before the enhancements. But still, it was dragging on him. He stifled a yawn. "What's this one?" he asked Alexa, holding the walnut-sized stone between his fingers.
"It appears to consist of magnesite and marble," said Alexa. "On Earth, it would have been somewhat uncommon, but here, I have detected it with considerable frequency."
"Would it be worth anything, back on Earth?"
"Absolutely," she said, offering him a wide smile. "Though one would be unlikely to be able to retire on the sale of such a small specimen. Here, such a stone might prove more useful in the production of steel or as a raw material for chemical production."
Reach tossed the rock up into the air, caught it, and stashed it in his rigging. "For luck."
"We make our own luck, Reach."
"Because I like it, then."
Alexa smiled. "Here comes Dessen."
Dessen and five other Osei men arrived at the rendezvous point. The men wore what looked like surplus uniforms, and though they looked new, they were dirty, as though they'd been deliberately rubbed down with dirt and mud. The sleeves had been removed, too, and the men's bare arms slathered with what looked like baby oil. Black concealment paint was administered in tiger stripe patterns across faces and biceps. Several of the men wore headbands.
"We are ready," Dessen said.
"Yeah, I can see that," Reach replied, and Alexa translated the words in Osei.
"Brody has helped us prepare for the mission," Dessen said, sounding proud. "We are outfitted as the mightiest warriors of our ancient history."
"If you mean you look like you just stepped out of one of Arnold's 80s movies, I'd say you're right," Reach said. Then quickly added, "Alexa, don't translate that."
"I wasn't about to," Alexa replied.
"Okay," Reach said. "I want Alexa on point. I'll pull up the rear. Staggered column. No noise. No talking unless it's mission critical." The Osei men had no arguments, readily nodding their heads at Alexa's instructions. Alexa set off, and Dessen followed almost on her heels. Reach had to halt the column and then release the Osei men one by one to achieve proper spacing. He took the rear, hoping that he was right and that they wouldn't encounter Rupak. The pace was much slower than it had been on the previous evening, and the morning light diffusing through the black tree canopy gave the area a very different look. It was a funny thing. They hadn't been on Amir long, but to Reach it felt like a lifetime. Now that he was moving, he didn't feel sluggish anymore. He felt as though he could go on for hours, especially at the pace at which the Osei were moving, which would be considered slow even if Reach didn't have his enhancements. It was clear these men weren't trained for much beyond serving as a militia or guard. Add that to the list of things to be sorted out. Reach wondered if there would ever be time for it all. They paused after 3 hours and disappeared beneath the foliage so that the men could rest and consume rations, a dried meat that tasted to Reach like a tangier version of beef jerky, a little acidic. It was paired with a cornbread-like cake, so crumbly and dry that it demanded a mouthful of water with every bite. The fare was a far cry from what Lyanna had offered him. Alexa sat beside Reach. They spoke through their implants, watching the Osei men, who remained alert, though they were clearly gassed from the patrol thus far.
"They're trying," Alexa said.
"Yeah," said Reach. "They're actually in pretty good shape. I keep telling myself this only feels slow because of how much ground we covered the last time out."
"Excellent perspective. These are hunters. They have moved quietly and efficiently. I think they will make excellent soldiers once they've been properly trained."
Reach smiled. She was right. But the thought of those next steps were still far away in his mind. He was thinking about Lyanna. "I wonder how things are coming along in Ohio." The statement was as close as he was willing to come to speculating about the woman out loud. Alexa saw right through it.
"You're worried about Lyanna. That is understandable. I do not know. Nor do I think it's wise that we ask about anything, not just Lyanna."
"Why do you say that?"
"I believe that Rupak may have the ability to listen in on our long-range communications inside Amir's atmosphere."
"Roger. Radio silence."
"No, not radio. It's much more advanced, but I understand the expression." There was a long pause before Alexa spoke again. Reach, may I share with you another theory?
You can tell me anything, Alexa, go ahead.
I do not have anywhere near the degree of certainty Dr. Roman would require for me to state this out loud.
Reach shrugged. Who cares? You should have heard some of the theories we used to come up with back on barracks when I was young. You didn't even have to think before you spoke, or know what you were talking about. Just say what's on your mind and then argue about it as if it's your most cherished belief. Good times.
Alexa laughed.
Hey, Reach said. That sounded normal.
I've been working on it. Brody tipped me to watching old episodes of Seinfeld. I can do the entire laugh track.
Reach heard a studio audience laughing in his ear.
Okay, that's weird. Actually, just hearing you laugh without you actually laughing out loud is weird too.
Alexa laughed again.
My theory is, what if?
That's it? What if?
Yes.
Okay.
The mission to colonize Amir was of the highest classification. The recruitment and mission selection efforts far exceeded any vetting and testing ever done in the history of the United States. Everything about everyone was known. It made the traditional obstacles to obtain national security clearance look as easy as signing up for a grocery store rewards card.
Roger. I remember the interviews, cross-examinations, and all the forms I had to sign.
Exactly. Plus, levels of observation and research on you and your family that you had no idea were taking place. That story about your grandfather. I already knew it.
And so, what if... what?
What if, in spite of all that, the boon was never secure?
As in, what if there was a spy or saboteur?
Precisely.
Are you saying there's a traitor in our midst?
I have no proof. It's just a theory. What if?
Reach stared at the android. She looked radiant as the light hit her face. If she weren't a machine, there was no limit to the number of hearts she could break. Actually, she would probably break some hearts simply because she was a machine living in the midst of a camp that was very much full of flesh and blood men. That's it?
As I said, it is well below the threshold Dr. Roman would require to introduce it as something to investigate. But it won't leave my mind.
To be honest, the thoughts crossed my mind too.
Reach gently bent over a stalk of some wiry violet-colored plant, careful not to mar its appearance for anyone who might be following.
Probably one of the first thoughts any of us had. Something bad like this happens. You figure there's something to blame.
And what if there is?
Let's hope not, Reach said.
The march through the jungle continued for another 3 hours, with no signs of anything larger than the gray and white birds that flitted from branch to branch, blending in with the trees overhead. None of the large feathered deer or the lolling lion dogs, and no Rupak. They were within 2 kilometers of the drone's crash site. Reach pushed toward the front of the column, moving past the halted Osei men, their arms glistening with sweat as they waited on bent knees. He found Dessen with Alexa at the front.
Little over 6 hours in and no sign of Rupak, Reach said. I think they're gone.
I agree, but Dessen would like to continue on at least to the site, though he is unaware of the significance of the location.
Have they ever even seen any of the drones?
No. The one we encountered appears to be unique.
Reach looked overhead. The area was quiet, but the thought of encountering Rupak was nagging at him. They had escaped the last encounter undetected, thanks to Brody's quick thinking. But they wouldn't sneak away this time. If they did meet up with Rupak, Dessen and his men would open fire.
Alexa, tell Dessen that I think we've searched sufficiently and should return now, with honor, to report no further signs of Rupak.
Dessen, who had been waiting patiently to be included in the conversation, shook his head.
We must at least go as far as Liana did. We owe her that much.
What you owe her, Reach said, is not taking unnecessary risks on her behalf. Somehow I doubt it's her who wants vengeance.
Reach hoped Alexa's translation sounded less irritated than that.
I must insist, Dessen said. You do not need to come. We can move to the location if you will simply tell us how far.
Absolutely not, Reach said. I have an obligation to keep you safe.
We do not need you to keep us safe. We have been keeping ourselves safe since long before you arrived.
Reach wanted to point out that it was Brody who had kept them safe, but getting into a pissing match wasn't going to do any good. His job involved not only knowing what to say, but what not to say. He'd been pushing it as it was. He hoped that after all these hours on patrol, Dessen would be eager to turn around.
"I will offer a compromise," Dessen said. "Allow me to move to the location with Alexa to guide. You stay here with the men, and be prepared to move to the front should we find any Rupak. We will arrange an ambush at that time."
Reach looked to Alexa.
"I can make that journey in very little time if it is just with Dessen," she said.
"Okay," said Reach. "But without you here to translate what I'm saying, I'm going to have a bit of a language gap with these men."
Dessen motioned to a young man kneeling 15 meters behind them.
"That is Martin. He speaks in Brody well enough to understand you, I think. If you speak simply."
Reach shrugged. "Okay, we'll make do. Good luck."
Dessen informed his men of the plan, then returned to Alexa.
"I am ready."
Alexa scooped Dessen up into a fireman's carry, shushing his surprised yelp of protest, and disappeared deeper into the forest, moving at full speed. Reach smiled as the two departed. If all went well, it wouldn't be long before they both returned, and then they could all go back to the camp, with no harm done. It was 20 minutes before Reach heard the first indications that Alexa was returning with Dessen. Another 20 seconds after that brought the realization that it wasn't Alexa and Dessen at all. A column of Rupak regulars, men who looked to be in prime fighting condition, their uniforms new and their weapons maintained, moved into the area of operation. They were moving parallel to the Yose patrol, having emerged from a westward portion of forest. Reach counted 12 of them. A routine patrol? He dropped low, signaling for everyone else to do the same. He attempted to communicate in hand signals, but it was evident by the bewildered looks on the Yose men's faces that they weren't familiar with the gestures. So Reach whispered orders to Martin.
"Tell everyone in the line to lay low. Do not open fire unless we're discovered. Let them move past us. Do you understand?"
Maritime nodded.
"Roger, citizen."
He crept quietly over to the nearest man, whispered the order, and instructed him to send it down the line. The Rupak soldiers spoke softly to one another as they passed, giving no sign that they detected any danger. That was heartening, as it meant they hadn't encountered Alexa and Dessen. All Reach and his men had to do was stay where they were, quietly, and encounter would be avoided. But somewhere along the line, the game of telephone must have broken down, with grave consequences. One of the Yose men stood up no more than 5 meters from the Rupak column and fired a burst at the soldiers. He hit one in the arm and neck and sprayed bullets at the others as they dove for cover. The return fire was almost immediate. The Yose was struck multiple times and crumpled to the forest floor. Reach screamed, "Surrender!" in Russian, hoping the Rupak soldiers knew the word. But whether it gave them pause was a matter of micro-reactions taking place in milliseconds, for the two sides were already engaged in a brutal firefight at close range. Some of the men found cover behind the trees. Others were on their stomachs with only the concealment of the forest underbrush, and they were firing at men similarly situated only a few meters away. Reach knew they would need to fall back to the protection of the trees and engage the enemy from a better firing position.
"Covering fire!"
he screamed, hoping they all understood Brody enough to know the order, or that at least his shouts would rally them to follow his lead. He rose to one knee, ready to send as many rounds at the enemy as necessary to afford those trapped to move back to the safety of the trees. He soon found that his reflexes afforded him an option far deadlier. The silhouettes of the Rupak soldiers seemed to jump out at him from their hiding places in the foliage. Just a flash of visibility, a hip pocket or a boot, and Reach found his inner reticle pulling his aim to where their heads would be. He fired 2 shots at a time, parting the delicate leaves with the force of the blast and seeing blood and brain matter fly upward moments later. Reach became aware of 2 sounds. The first was a Rupak NCO yelling for his men to fall back. No, to target Reach. The second was Alexa.
"Contact,"
was all Reach reported in response to her question, whatever it had been. Time seemed to slow. He looked to his right and saw that the Yose men were either firing their weapons in wild bursts or were agog, staring at him as he stood and brought down the whirlwind on the Rupak patrol. It had been mere seconds, and no fewer than 5 of the enemy soldiers' guns were already silenced. Bullets snapped above Reach's head, and he became aware that a group of the Rupak men had fallen back and were now attempting to provide covering fire for those still pinned down. By now, the pinned Osei were able to get up and fall back to better cover as their counterparts suppressed their adversaries. Reach felt a round ping his shoulder, causing him to turn slightly as though bumped while walking down a crowded hallway. But he didn't feel any pain. He pushed for the cover of the nearest tree, and rounds struck it, sending out spurts of red sap. He adjusted his elevation, peeked back around to re-engage, and walked 3 rounds up from sternum to forehead of his first target, sending the man falling onto his back. He spotted the SNCO of the group, shouting instructions, and ended him with a single trigger pull, then ducked back behind the tree before more rounds could reach him. That put the Rupak at over 50% casualties. That Reach could account for, at least. The noise of the battle backed this up. The weapons fire from the Osei was now much louder than that of the Rupak. "Reach, we're moving to your position," Alexa said. "Advise." "Engaging," Reach said. "I think we've got at least 1 Osei KIA, unknown wounded."
"I can help them, but we need to eliminate Rupak first."
"Working on it," grunted Reach.
He burst out from the tree, moving at full speed, the forest a black and white blur as he moved to flank the remaining Rupak soldiers. To their credit, they were standing their ground, doing their best to provide an avenue of escape for their comrades still pinned. Emerging from the trees, Reach found himself on an unprotected flank of 4 Rupak soldiers firing at the Osei front, working their way back, just about to break contact and run. Reach sent rounds into the side of the first man, causing him to bend sideways in pain, mouth open, and silently screaming. The second man went down as Reach's sights focused on his neck. The final 2 turned to engage, but they were operating at a different speed than Reach. Neither managed to get a shot on target before crumpling to the ground.
4 more EKIAs, Reach reported. "I think I'm behind them, Alexa. Where are you?"
"I've reached the Osei lines and I'm tending to the wounded. Some of these men won't make it."
Reach gritted his teeth.
"Roger. Tell them to cease fire. I'm behind Rupak and want to move in."
"Be careful," Alexa said.
Reach could hear her shouting in the Osei tongue, and her words were echoed by Dessen. The firing died down, and then stopped.
"I'm moving toward the front," Reach called out,
trusting Alexa or Martine to translate. He moved carefully, but not slowly. A deliberate, smooth pace that took him past several dead Rupak.
"Come out,"
he shouted in Russian, a language he felt more comfortable with the more he spoke it, as if he'd always known it and was simply rusty.
"Lay down your weapons and you will not be hurt."
Alexa echoed the order in Mandarin and then Farsi. No one replied. Somewhere ahead, a man was moaning, close to death. Reach moved toward the sound and found the man with gunshot wounds to the chest and abdomen. His cheek was holed, and bloody fragments of his teeth were scattered down the side of his face and neck.
"Ah, man," Reach whispered.
The man was barely there. Barely hanging on. If he was in pain, if he was anywhere, he didn't show it. 4 meters to Reach's right, the tall stalks rustled, and a Rupak soldier rose. He was shaking violently and holding his weapon in blood-soaked hands. Reach instantly sighted his rifle, aiming at the man's heart.
"Down! Weapons down!"
Alexa again gave multiple translations, but Reach could see from the icy blue eyes that the kid was from Russia. Or at least one of the eastern territories it had reabsorbed in the slow march toward the end. His hands shaking violently, the kid tightened his grip on his weapon. Not one of the Gauss rifles, but some kind of gas-fired variant of the old AK series, but way futuristic. Call it an AK-747.
"Down!" Reach shouted.
The kid's eyes were full of fear, but they were also determined. Wincing as he used his strength, he attempted to swing the weapon toward Reach, hoping to fire from the hip. Reach engaged. The kid fell. That was that.